Okay, Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2. So at this point, just for the new ladies that don't know, we're just going to ask the ladies to be silent in the churches as we teach and preach the Word of God and consider doctrine in accordance with 1 Corinthians 14. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to trust the Lord to illuminate us. Father, open our hearts, open our eyes. Father, create in us a hunger to long for you, to love you, to seek you with all our heart, to search for you with all our heart, to search for your wisdom and your understanding and your knowledge, God. There's no time left to be fools. There's no time left. Those who choose foolishness will be destroyed. Father, please, teach us, guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we finished Proverbs 1, and just a quick recap, Solomon gave the introduction. Remember, he's a king. This is the wisdom of kings. He's speaking to his son who's going to be king. He learned from his father, David, and now he's teaching his son. And this book is so that we can have the wisdom, the instruction, the understanding, the justice, the judgment, the equity of kings, the knowledge and discretion. And where it all starts is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Those who do not fear God, they haven't even started. They haven't even begun. It's the beginning. And then in a human standpoint, where the fear of the Lord begins with us practically is in honoring and listening to our father and mother. Honoring and listening to our father and mother. This is where the Lord wants to start with all of us. And what Jonathan said earlier is so true. If you don't learn how to honor your parents, God's never really going to even take you any further. He's going to have to bring you back there until you're finally willing to humble yourself, go back there, and honor your parents for what you can honor them for. And that goes for all of us. Doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter where we are in our lives, we'll get nowhere until we first honor them. And even if they're dead, it doesn't matter. We can, in our minds, in our hearts, we can repent towards God for the dishonor, for the rebellion, for the critical spirit thinking we could do better than them. God, forgive us for that, and that we would honor them for the good things they did do and for the good things they did teach us. This is where it starts. Then we saw that Solomon warns his son against sinners, to stay away from them. Stay away from the bad friends, the bad crowd that are going to lead you the wrong way. What a difference that makes. And again, in my own life, those are like the first two things God had to teach me. In my teenage years, I didn't honor my mother. I always honored my dad. But I didn't honor my mother, and I ran with a bad crowd, and they went hand in hand. As soon as I stopped honoring my mother, I started going with the bad crowd. It goes hand in hand. At about 18 and a half, I realize these people are losers, and I kick them out of my house and get out of my life, and I'm doing something with my life. I'm not going to remain some stupid bum like the rest of you, and I'm going to do something with my life. And I started pressing forward, and I started reading the Bible, and God had to teach me how to love my mother and honor her. Until I learned that, I was just getting started. And then we saw wisdom's call in verses 20 through 23. And wisdom cries, she calls. By the way, wisdom is a female spirit. And she's preaching. So women can preach, okay? Women can preach. Amen. But she's preaching outside. She's not preaching in the church, okay? So again, let's just place an order. We're trusting the Lord. We're learning his ways. But she's preaching and she's calling men. First off, she's exposing their current condition, exposing their sin, who they are. In verse 22. The simple ones, how long are you going to love simplicity? How long? The scorners, how long are you going to delight in your scorning? How long? The fools, how long are you going to hate knowledge? How long, you know? And this is where God really begins. When we're in sin or we're confused, what does God do? The Spirit of God doesn't say, I love you, you're awesome, you're my man. No, the Spirit of God begins to move and go, how long? How long? How long are you going to keep doing that? How long are you going to keep staying there? How long? Turn. And then this is the message, verse 23, turn. Turn, that's called repent. And what will happen if you'll repent? Verse 23, Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. It's beautiful. Spirit, words. Spirit, words. And we just talked about this. You cannot understand the words of Christ if you don't receive the Spirit of Christ. You cannot understand the words of wisdom if you don't receive the Spirit of wisdom. You can't understand the words of understanding unless you receive the Spirit of understanding. All these things, we must be open to receive from God so that we can finally understand it. No. And then we saw verse 24 through 32, those who refuse, their sure destruction and damnation, and how wisdom will literally laugh at them in the day of their calamity. She'll mock them. Because they mocked her, she'll mock them. And when they finally want God, then she'll laugh at them because they laughed at her. And you see divine justice. God is a God of divine justice. Verse 33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So now we roll into chapter 2. And in chapter 2, he's addressing his son again. Solomon saying, my son. And he's going to say, if you do these things, if you do these things, then these are the benefits. And he's going to show the benefits. So this is verses 1 through 9. So let's just read it. Let's go through verses 1 through 9. Yeah, why don't we just go around the table? Let's just take turns reading. So I'll read verse 1 and then we'll just go around. My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee,
Wisdom
and apply thine heart to understand
you.
Excellent. Verse 3.
Cry out for insight and ask for understanding.
4.
Search for them as you would for silver, seek them like hidden treasures.
Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God.
For the Lord grants wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding.
He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly.
He keepeth the path of judgment and persevereth the way of his saints.
Then you will understand righteousness and judgment and equity in every good path.
Amen. Okay, so let's just go through that real quick. So my son, so like Diavolt has been saying over and over, if we're born again, we are sons and daughters of the living God. Everything comes out of that relationship. If that relationship isn't there, then this stuff can't flow. And we need to repent and we need to come to him so we can receive his spirit, so we can become his sons and daughters, and then it can. But here's relationship, my son. Now, here's the thing, my son, if, just because you're a son or a daughter of God, doesn't mean you're going to be a good son or daughter at first. It doesn't mean you're going to walk with him. You have a choice still. God never removes your free will. God never takes that from you, never forces you. So it's if. Now, what are the ifs? Let's look at the ifs. What's the first one? If... If you'll receive my words. Okay. Receive my words. Second, Mons.
Treasure and commands.
What does it say?
Treasure and commands.
Treasure. Treasure or hide. Good. So if we receive, that's number one, his words. If we hide or treasure his commandments. Okay, so these are the ifs. Verse 2, what's the third one? So you incline your ear to wisdom Incline your ear. What does that mean? Incline your ear.
Listen. Hear.
And not just hear. What does it mean to incline?
True.
Yeah, exactly. You lean in. Remember, why was John so special? Why did he have such deep insight? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but in the upper room, John's the one who's right in at the heartbeat of Jesus. I mean, when you read John, there's no one like John who had such a feel for the heart of God. Why was that? Because he inclined. He came in close. Incline your ear. Don't just listen from a distance. A lot of people want to listen from a distance. The devils, they'll listen from a distance. No, incline. Number four, apply. I think that was a key word Jonathan was talking about. Apply your heart to understanding. Number five, verse three, cry after knowledge. Have you ever cried? Now, in the King James, when he says cry, he's not talking about wah, wah, wah. He's talking about with all your voice, like a town crier would go into the town and announce the news. Knowledge! I need you! That's what crying is. Like, cry out for it. Man, cry out for the Lord. He loves that. Cry to the heavens, and the heavens will cry out to you. And if you lift up your voice, again, it's just confirming that's what crying is. Lift up your voice for understanding. That's number six. Number seven, seek. Who's the her? No. But they're tied, but no. No, look back at verse three. Who's the her? What did you say? Understanding. And understanding is also a female spirit. It's possible wisdom and understanding are one. That's a possibility. But if you seek for understanding as silver, and if you search, it's number eight, search for her like hid treasure. Now, do any of these things look like things that just come easy? Is this going to come to a lazy man who just wants to sit around and have everything come smooth?
These are verbs from Proverbs.
Exactly. These are the verbs from Proverbs. This is some of the doing you have to do. Exactly. My son. My son. Now notice, the first thing, it starts good. First starts with receiving. That's how everything is with the Lord. Notice where it starts. It starts with receiving. God doesn't ask you to seek him first. He'll seek you first. First, he just wants you to learn how to open up and receive. But in the end, he's not going to keep you as a helpless baby. So first receive, then hide, then incline, then apply, then cry, then lift up your voice, then seek with all your might. Search. Like if you knew that there was hid treasure on your property, you'd probably be searching for it. He goes, that's what you should be doing with my understanding and with my wisdom. This is a wonderful progression. And you can, and really, if you will study this and understand this and then apply this progression, this is great wisdom here. I want you to understand, when these things are being written, they're not haphazard, they're not random. This thing is a sequence. This thing is set in order. Proverbs are set in order. He's setting this thing in order. This is a perfect progression. And go ahead.
I just think you asked, like, why is wisdom a female, but you think Satan always tries, he can't be creative, he can only like copy and distort.
So yes.
You think of the world,
yes,
it's seen as a seductress woman.
Yes.
So Satan's taking what's pure and good as this spirit of wisdom being a woman.
Yes.
And distorted it to being a woman as a seductress in the worldly sense.
Exactly. Exactly, brother. That's exactly right. Look, a man or a male is naturally attracted to a female. That's right. That's how God made it. And God says, I got a good woman for you. Her name's Wisdom. Come after her. She's going to give you everything you need. I got a good woman for you. Her name's Understanding. She's going to nourish you and teach you and bless you and serve you. And the devil, he wants to give you the the cheap shortcuts and the, you know, the harlot stuff. And no, you're absolutely right.
Immoral woman.
The immoral woman. And you see these themes running all through the scriptures from start to end. Start to, exactly. Jezebel, Babylon, all through it. As opposed to like a Ruth. Amen. Okay, so what does all this lead to? Verse 5. Leads to two key things. What two things is it going to lead to?
Understand the fear of the Lord.
Understand the fear of the Lord. Now, I can teach you what the fear of the Lord is, and I can explain it to you. We're doing that on Sundays. But that doesn't mean you're going to understand it. There's only one way you're going to understand the fear. This is why so few people actually understand what the fear of the Lord is. And many people will just give you a regurgitated answer. What's the fear of the Lord? Well, it just means reverence Him. It just means honor Him. No, that's not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord's a lot bigger and it's a lot deeper than that. That's part of it, but that's a very small part of it. You're just scratching the surface. Why don't people understand the fear of the Lord? Because you can't unless you do. Verse 1 through 4. Not just if you read it, but if you do it. He says, if you do these things, then, first thing, you'll understand the fear of the Lord. You'll finally get it, and you'll get why it's so wonderful and so needful. You'll finally get it. What's the second thing you'll find?
Knowledge.
You'll find the knowledge of God. Now, what he's talking about here is not just you'll find knowledge about God. That's not what he's saying. Yeah. What he's saying is you'll actually know God. You'll actually know Him. Knowledge, interest. Yeah, that's exactly. You'll find the knowledge of God. That, and like Jesus said, that is eternal life. This is it. This is it.
Section 4, the knowledge of God, you know the fear of God.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. You'll never know the Lord if you don't first fear Him. Okay. And now he's going to give you a bunch of wonderful, like, just promises and blessings that are, that just kind of go along with that verse 1 through 5. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Because again, where do I get wisdom? He's telling me to seek wisdom. He's telling me to search for wisdom. Well, the Lord gives it, and where does it come from? Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So that's why, again, in verse 1, you have to receive God's words. You have to hide His commandments with you. You have to lean into Him. He's the one who has wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So this is why we need not only just the Lord, but we need His words. We need what comes out of His mouth. Okay, and then notice what he does. Look at these wonderful promises in verse 7. There's a few promises here. So verse 7, the first promise is he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Sound wisdom. The word sound in the Bible is something that is established. It's fixed, it's settled, it's certain, it's not shaky. Sound wisdom. Who does he give sound wisdom to? Who is he laying it for?
The righteous.
Not the unrighteous, the righteous. This is why you gotta receive, keep His commandments, incline, apply. He's trying to transform you into someone who's righteous. And if He transforms you into someone who's righteous, He has sound wisdom for you. That's one of the benefits of being righteous. Okay? Look at the second promise in verse 7. What's the second promise?
He's a shield.
He's a buckler or a shield. Now, by the way, a buckler is a different kind of shield. There's the hand shields that you hold. And then a buckler is one of those big, huge shields. You know, the ones that they used to hide behind. It's a bus. It's bigger than just a shield. It's a big, huge shield that when arrows, you know, when the archers are shooting, you hide behind the buckler. They, you know, again, the guys who were in the front lines had the bucklers. He's a buckler to them that what?
Walk uprightly.
To those who walk uprightly. So if you walk crookedly, guess what? He ain't your buckler. He's not protecting you when the arrows come. That's why they keep hitting you. That's why they keep throwing you off course. That's why they keep wounding you. He's not your buckler. You're not walking uprightly.
Hence the pain.
Hence the pain, exactly. The Lord would love to protect you, but he's not protecting people who are walking crookedly. He created man to be upright. Okay. Verse 8. What's the next promise? Yes, he keeps the paths of judgment. Keeps the paths of judgment. So that's kind of implied. If you're walking in the path of judgment, he's going to keep you. He's going to keep your path. Again, judgments, these are God's judgments. These are what he declares as right versus wrong. And the fourth promise, he preserves the way of his saints. Serves the way of his saints. And then there's another then, verse 9. So it's implied if you do verse 1 through 4, then you get verse 5. And then with verse 5, if you continue in this path, verses 6 through 8, then verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Notice how important understanding is to God. Everything with God begins with the heart, but it doesn't end with the heart. God's into the mind also. He's into the spirit. God is not a fool, and he didn't create us to be fools. He wants us to understand. Righteousness, judgment, equity. Remember, he's a king. If you're a king, you have to have great understanding. And you have to have great ability to rule and discern and to figure things out. And we have been called in Jesus to be kings and priests. So we too must learn and grow in understanding.
What is to understand judgment? This is that you understand righteousness and judgment.
Yeah, to understand judgment. So there's a lot that goes into judgment. Judgment first is hearing a matter properly. So if I'm a judge, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to listen. Someone comes, they got this case. He did this to me, or she did that, or they, right? And she's got a case that keeps being delayed and delayed and delayed. So she understands. Okay, she's waiting for judgment, all right? So judgment, if you're a good judge, you don't just keep putting off the poor people and then you take care of the rich people right away, make sure that they get their judgment. That's crookedness. That's corruption. God is against that. He hates that. That's all through the Old Testament is the importance of hearing the cause of the widow and the poor and the fatherless. And not putting them off because they don't have any money, but I'll take care of the big shot cases. God hates that. Notice Zuma, he gets taken care of, you know, unless he doesn't want it, but of course he delays it. But like if something needs to happen, it's gonna happen, you know. But with someone like Ashley, it's just delay, delay, delay. We don't care, delay, delay. How long you been waiting?
All in all with everything, 6.5, 7 years.
6.5, 7 years, they don't care. Because she's a nobody in the eyes of South Africa, so they don't care. But God cares, okay? He's a judge. So first issue of judgment is you have to hear a matter. You have to hear it. You got to hear both sides. You got to hear all sides, and then you got to hear God's side. You know, you have to have discernment. Then the second thing of judgment, well, then there's also investigation. So you hear, and then if there needs to be investigation, then you investigate further. But then really, then there becomes the declaration of judgment. To declare who's right, who's wrong, who's out of bounds, this person's this much right, you know, like to declare what exactly is how it's supposed to be. And then to declare, you know, either retribution or punishment or reward based on that judgment. And then lastly, to actually execute it so it actually happens. That's judgment. And so there's a lot of issues on planet Earth between people and people and family and this and that. And God wants us to have judgment and understand judgment. Not because we're trying to judge, we're not trying to condemn, that's not the purpose, but how does God view this situation? Because if God Again, you meet a lot of homeless people here. I can't find work. I can't find, please, please pray for me to find a job. If God is not giving them a job because they're in rebellion and they've run away from their children and they're supposed to go home to where their children are and be a father to their children, and then if they're a father to their children, then God will provide work for them. If God is shutting every door in their face, and I come along and go, dude, I love you, man. God, please give him a job. Lord, bless him here in Joburg. This is where you sent him. No, I don't understand judgment because God didn't send him here. He ran away from home, and God wants him to go back home and do the right thing by his children. You see what I'm saying? So these things are important. I need to understand, what is God doing in this? How does he view this situation? And I can't just act out of emotion. I have to act out of righteousness, and God sees. This is called judgment. And equity, that's things that are equal and balanced, knowing how to balance things. You know, if you're an accountant, you have to balance books. If things don't balance, something's wrong, something's crooked. And this is how it has to be in life. Everything has to be equitable and fair. And every good path. Okay. Okay, let's just let's read through the rest of this. I didn't feel like we had to really delve into the rest of this chapter. I felt the first 9 verses what we had to really dig into. I think that's really the important part. Not to say the rest isn't important. It is important. But let's read this, just make a few points, and then we'll wrap it up because it's getting late. Okay, verse 10 through 22. So after verse 1 through 9, we saw this. Now verse 10 through 22. Now, if you do verse 1 through 9, then we're going to see these wonderful, even greater benefits that you're going to get in verses 10 through 22. But if you reject, you'll see where you'll end up. So let's read verse 10 through 22.
When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee.
To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things.
Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness.
Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked.
15.
Whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their path.
To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words.
Who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God.
Entering her house leads to death, is the road to the grave.
None go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life.
So that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous.
For the upright will dwell in the land, and the innocent will remain in it.
But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it.
Amen. There it is. So you're seeing the two paths. He's laying out the two paths. This is just straight up truth. Everyone on planet Earth is going to end up either being cast away into a lake of fire, or is going to enter the kingdom of God. There's two paths. Now, yes, there's subsections of those things. Not everybody who's damned is worthy of the same damnation. Not everybody who's rewarded in the kingdom of God will have the same elevation and the same position. Okay, we understand that. But ultimately, there's two paths. You're either Cain or Abel. The first two boys ever born. That's it. You're either Cain or Abel. There's no in between. So here's the good news. If you'll do verse 1 through 9, then verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart. See, first you don't have it, but you got to receive and incline and cry out and pray and seek for it and search for it. And then God begins to help you walk in it. And then when it finally enters your heart and when knowledge is pleasant to your soul, that's wonderful. You know, when you first start trying to seek God, the things of God are not pleasant to your soul. In fact, they're quite unpleasant. You really don't want to do them. You actually want to run back to all the old bad things. It's not pleasant to you at first. And so what God has to do is he has to actually kill you and then resurrect you and make you new and restore you so that the things of God become pleasant to your soul. That's a good prayer to pray. Pray, God, let me love you with my soul. You know? First heart. First pray for heart. But then after heart, pray for soul, that you would love God with your soul, that actually it wouldn't be a grief. You know, John said, his commandments are not grievous. So if the commands of God are still grievous, it's not, the problem's not with his commands, the problem's with your soul. You need your soul to be restored. It needs to be changed. It needs to be restored. When knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, then, here's the good news, verse 11, discretion shall preserve you and understanding shall keep you. What are they going to preserve you and keep you from? Two things. The way of the evil man in verse 12. The evil man. And then in verse 16, the strange woman. The stranger, the seductress. And those are the two things that it's going to deliver you from. And we're not just, okay, as you're talking to your son, a teenage boy, you're first dealing with physical. So he's got to first learn how to see who are the bad friends, who's the bad role models. Again, who's the evil man that seduces young children today? It's the Tupacs, it's the Biggies, it's the, and I don't know the modern people, so I can only go back like 30 or 40 years, okay? But you know, it's the Hollywood actors, it's the sports stars who are thugs, who are prideful and hateful. I'm not saying all sports stars are like that, but the ones who are. These are the evil men that seduce young boys because they seem to be powerful, they seem to be strong, they seem to be mighty, and all boys want to be strong and powerful and mighty. That's in a boy. He wants to become that because he's supposed to become a man. These guys are going to lead you into a path of crookedness and darkness. And man, how many people have been corrupted by the Tupacs and the Biggies and the, whoever these other guys are? And they think these guys, look at these mighty men. And meanwhile, these guys died in their youth, died alone. Nobody, and just a life of pride and self-will came to nothing. But people won't call it out for it. And then look at the Snoop Dogg, just a worthless old man withering away. His own children won't listen to him. You exalt this man like he's some glorious something. No, he's a worthless thug. These are evil men. I'm going to lead your sons away from the paths of uprightness. And then the second thing is the strange woman. And these are the harlots and the whores and the, you know, all the filth. And now it's cool to be a harlot, you know. And anyways, it's just, Lord have mercy on this poor society. But so first it's in the physical. But I want you to understand this isn't just true in the physical. This is true in the spiritual. This is true in the spiritual. There are evil men in the spiritual realm that will try to attract you to power in spiritual, even in a spiritual godliness. And they seem to be powerful and mighty in God, but they're actually evil. And they're froward. There's something wrong with them. And if you follow their cult, which is what it ends up being, you'll end up in the path of darkness and you'll never find the light. And there's many great men of intellect and all these things, but they're evil is what they are. They're men who've turned aside out of the way. Their ways are crooked. And then also there's strange women in the spiritual realm. You know, false spirituality, false religion. And I'm not just talking about females, but even just in there, there's false churches and false movements that are seducting and they offer you all this stuff. And these things lead to death. So if you get wisdom, if it enters your heart, knowledge becomes pleasant in your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you from these two things, from these two people, both physical and spiritual. Why? So that verse 20, you may walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Why? For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Listen, when you read Revelation, the end of it, transgressors, sinners, drunkards, fornicators, whoremongers, adulterers, idolaters, sorcerers, liars, unbelievers, fearful. They will not dwell in God's kingdom. They'll be rooted out. Who is going to dwell in God's kingdom? those that are holy, righteous, pure, washed in the blood of the Lamb, those that are going to dwell in. God did not create man to be a helpless sinner. All of us fall into sin and we become helpless sinners. And then we have to cry out to God to save us. But we can't stay helpless sinners. And that's Proverbs 2. It really goes perfectly in line with Psalm 1. You don't have to go there now, but if you go back to Psalm 1, just compare Psalm 1. Psalm 1's like a condensed, shortened version of this. But you'll see in Psalm 1 exactly what David said. Solomon's saying the exact thing, he's just expounding it. He's just opening it up a little bit more. But yeah, there's two paths. And the one path is the path of the blessed. And again, it's just interesting. Notice, they're under the law here. But Solomon's not like, you need to keep the Sabbath. You need to not kill. What's it all about here? My son, receive. Hear, hide, listen, apply it. These are the exact same principles of the new covenant. God's never changed. His heart has always been for relationship and true faith. Not just, here's a list of do's, do it. Here's a list of don'ts, don't. But your heart isn't really in it. God has never been that way. Never.
It's interesting to think, like, you know, everything, every verse, everything in the Bible points to Jesus. And that's how I always try and look at, like, verses, because it's always reflecting Jesus in some form.
Amen.
You almost, like, think, Jesus came to the earth, it's almost like God the Father,
yes,
giving him that wisdom as a fleshly man.
Yes, know, yes.
And giving him this wisdom, and he fulfilled all of that.
Amen. Amen.
It's like looking at that not just Solomon speaking to his son.
Amen.
God speaking to his son.
You're Jesus. Right. And you're right. And that's the perfect is always Christ. It's always Christ. It starts with Christ, it ends with Christ. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And then for us, this can all be true. As we're pressing into Christ. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. Bless your people. Bless your people. Bless your sons and daughters. Bless us, Lord. Let us drink these things in. Let them become reality, Lord. You're wonderful. You're a mighty God. Lord, the path of righteousness and holiness is so much better than the path of uncleanness and perversion. And Father, the path of wisdom and understanding, knowledge is so much better than the path of foolishness, simplicity, and scorning. So Father, please, pray for all of us that we would have those hearts to receive, those ears to hear, that ear to incline, that desire to apply. Give us the ability to apply, Lord. Everything's of you. Everything good is of you. It's not of us. So we're just saying, Lord, help us. Guide us. For everybody here, wherever they're at in their journey, Lord, that you'd help us. We bless your holy name, the name of Jesus Christ, the name that's above every name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you fulfilled all these things because you are the perfect Son of God.
Yes.
You're the beloved Son in whom the Father was well pleased. Father, thank you that because you haven't just told us what to do, but you've shown us how to do it. And now you've given us the same Spirit. Now you're in us and you're helping us step by step that we can become beloved sons and daughters. That you would be well pleased with us, Lord. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful, Lord. I don't even want to think about what I used to be, Lord. I just want to think about how great you are, how wonderful you are, and what you're making us into. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus. We put no confidence in the flesh. None of this is possible in ourselves. It's all possible in you. It's all possible in Jesus. So bless your people, and we bless your holy name. Your name's above every name. Thank you that every name that seems to be somewhat, that thinks itself to be high and mighty, those names, Lord, they're all going to crash, come crumbling down at the feet of Jesus. pray this in Jesus' name, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Hallelujah and amen.
Amen. Amen.